Well, it told us Noach. Noach ish tzadik tamim hayo bedorosov. Es halokim is halich Noach. Rashi says bedorosov. Yesh mei rabosenu dorshim oso l'shvach. Kol shkein ilu hayo bedoro bedor tzadikim hayo tzadik Yosef yesh Dorshin also lignai lefi doro hayatzadik vilu hayador bedoro shel Avram lo hayanechshav leklum. And if we look in the Ramban quotes Rashi verbatim vanochem bi'enai lefi apshat, and then he comments that in his opinion kitamo lomar shehu levado, the meaning of this pasuk is that he himself is singular, he's the tzadik. Bidoros Haheim, amongst those generations, Aim Bidorosov, amongst those generations, there's no Tzaddik, there's no Tomim, except for Noach himself. Achein, Ki Oschara Isi Tzaddik Lefonai, Bidor Hazeh. Later on, in Perek Zion, She'ein Acher Bidor Royli Notzel. And therefore the Torah emphasizes Bidorosov. Kidoros Rabim Avru Me Ace Shehishisu, from the time that the nations of the world have gone off and corrupted themselves, there are no, many generations have passed, but ain't Tzadik Baris Bilto, there's no one else, Bidorosov. It's an entire period of time, says the Ramban, that probably spans Dar Enosh, Dar Hafloga perhaps, I don't know, but for many generations. And there's no one like Noach. Noach, Hakosav Lo Yisaper Arak She'ein Tzadik Royli Notzel Ben Amabel B'chol Ador Sahem. So the emphasis on the word Bidorosov Rashi, which takes it in two directions, says the Ramban, is clear. Al Pipshuto Shel Mikra, he is the singular Tzadik Bidorosov, spanning a period of generations. And it's interesting because the way the Ramban is going, the Torah has only pure praise for Noach. And yet, we have a Chazal that Rashi quotes, indicating that that Noach was very hesitant to enter into the Teva. And Rashi goes as far as to say in the name of Chazal that Noach was Mikatnei HaEmuna. Katanei HaEmuna, he was limited in his faith. But I'd like to study with you the Kli Yokar. This is in Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Zayin. He says, let's take a look at the word Gishomim. Hashem is bringing down rains. When it says the word Gishomim, Stam, it's a reference to Gishmei Brocha. As Rashi points out at the beginning of the Torah, Vayah Geshem Al Oretz, the beginning of the story of the Mabul, these were Gishmei Brocha, V'yakach Nemar Vayihi Mabul. So in other words, when the rain started coming down, Horidon Horidon Merachamim, there was compassion. These were Gishmei Brocha, but later on, the waters coming down from the heavens turned into a Mabul. Why initially were they Gishmei Rachamim, says the Kli Yokar, Ula Yachzer B'tshuva. Hashem is holding out for the people of the earth. Maybe, perhaps they'll do tshuva v'yoz, you gishmei brocha. And let these rains be gishmei brocha. And now he says, Bazem Yushav Shalom, it's tarich lomer Noach hayo mikatnei amuna. There's no need to say that Noach hesitated to enter into the ark because of his limited or deficient faith in God. Ki b'pshuto eino mashma kein. It doesn't appear that Noach is deficient in his faith. After all, Noach is called a tzaddik, but rather hayam esupak v'bias hamabul. He had doubts whether or not the mabul will come. Ula yachzur b'tshuvi, was holding out with some faith for the people, just as HaKadosh Baruch was holding out. Maybe they'll do tshuva. And we found in the case of Yonah, Kiderech Shaya Novi Yonah Mesupak B'Yehud HaPuronus Lianshe Ninveh. Noach also was wondering that maybe Hashem would not
implement his original decree against Nineveh of Peronios. Maybe the people of Nineveh would do tshuva and Hashem would change his mind. Umitam ze nemar mipnei me'amabu. That it's only when the waters turned into me'amabu, that's when Noach entered into the teva. Biod hayosam gishamim. Before they were classified and defined as me'amabu, they were gishamim lo nichnasu l'teva ula yachzu b'tshuva yiyah geshmei bracha. Now I just want to make a comment here that my Rebbe Rav Salvechik understood that Noach gave up hope and he had no faith in the people. But maybe there were different stages in Noach's career. The Kli Yakar a little bit earlier in Perek Vav says, Ish tzadik tamim ayo b'dorosav lefi shedor amabal ishchisu his ivu b'shlosha mini hashchasos. The Dor HaMabul was guilty of three fundamental cardinal sins. Shenizku b'parasha, that are mentioned in Parashas Noach. Ve'em avodah zarah gili arayis v'gezel. And therefore, kein hiktim lomar shenoach haya gadur b'shloshtam. Then in these three areas, Noach was a saint, he was religious, he was meticulous, he was careful. Number one, it says, Ish tzaddik. Tzaddik means righteousness. Shalohoye bo gezel. He wasn't suspect of thievery like the people of the Mabul. And number two, Tomimoye bedoros vayinu shoye godur me'arayus ki nolad mohul vayetomim. The word tomim refers to Mila. He was already gimalt. He was already mohul. And that indicates that he, symbolically, that he was very careful about violations in the area of Arayos. And Esalukim Esalich Noach Shalopon Elohim Achirim Avol. He, in contrast to the Dor HaMabul, his generation, he did not look at other, turn towards other gods. The Dor HaMabul Oy Partsu Begeder Partsu Geder B'Shloshtan, in all these areas. So we see clearly that Noach is the choice of generations. And if you take a look at the end of Parshas Bereishis, the Torah describes Noach as Motzachem Beini Hashem. We've discussed this in the past, what it means that Noach was Motzei Shem. I want to add something new that I wasn't aware of. We have said in the past that the name of Rabbi Chaim Shulevitz, the great Rosh Yeshiva, that Matzachen was a result of two attributes. Number one, Midos and Chesed, Oeves Habrios, that's number one. And number two, a Mid of Torah. And Noach was an Anav, and Noach knew Torah. And now I find in a sefer called the Minchas Osher of Osher Zelig Weiss for Parshas Noach, that he writes that Metzius Chen is something to be achieved in four different ways. The Eluhain, he says, Anova, that we spoke about. He's got Esek HaTorah, then he has something called Tmimos, or Tmimus, and Yerushamayim. And he proves each one of these four. These are the four keys to achieve Metzius Chen. Anova dechsiv, lanovim yitein chen. And he quotes the Malbim at the beginning of Mishlei. Anovim sheina misgayim lachlok al chukei hachochma shemitzadan venusam yodim ki sichlam kotzer milahasig hatalumos yitein Hashem shiyelehem b'yene abrios. Yitein Hashem, God gives them shiyu lechein b'yene abrios. They'll have chen. These are the anovim. These are the humble people who understand that they're rational capacity is limited. There are things that are beyond human comprehension. These are the people that Hashem gives chen b'ene abrios. Then he has tmimos d'chsiv apostle Tillim chen v'kavod yiten Hashem lo yimna tov lo holchim b'tomim. And the Radak explains what's holchim b'tomim. Chener is connected with those who walk in the ways of Tomim. He says, Osam Shu Holchi B'Tomim, the Yashvu, the Yashuvu Eilav B'Chol Liban. A certain perfection. They don't let chait get them down. They come back and they do tshuva. Yira Shamayim is the third midah. The Gemara says in Sukkah, Mishayesh Alav Chain, Biyadua Sheyesh Bo Yira Shamayim, Shenemar V'chesed Hashem Me'olam V'ad Olam Al Yireyov. And then finally, Esekat Torah, and the story of the Gemara in Ksubis, about Rabbi Shubin Levi, who would teach Torah, even to Chole Rasan, Bali Rasan. And he, when he was asked about it, that he would, this was very contagious, he would get sick, Chas V'Shalom, he says, Ayeles, Ahavim, Yalas Chayim, Pasuk in Mishlei, that teaches us that Hashem protects those who have the mile of Chayim, those who teach Torah. And in the Minchas Hosha goes on to say that you find with Noach, with regard to Noach, all four of these elements. He writes, Arbas atnoim heim lemitzias chen b'nei Elokim v'adam v'kulam isnayu b'noach. You can find all of them in Noach. No one on Nova. Rashi interprets in Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Vav, Noach tomim b'drachav anav ushfal ruach tmimus d'chsiv tomim ayo b'dorosav. And the Sfarno says tomim b'muskolos. Yerushalayim, Kiditargim, Unklos Elul Eselkim, Isalich Noach, B'dechilta Da Hashem Halach Noach. That means in Yerush Hashem and Oiv and Esek HaTorah. As Rashi says, Mikol Behem HaTorah, Tikach Lecha Shiva Shiva. HaTorah means Hasidol Lios Torah Lishom Lamdeim Shalomad Noach Torah. Noach learned Torah, and he points out, Rav Asher Zeg, that these four conditions for Yalas Chayim are also the four conditions for Ashras HaShchina. Torah brings Shchina, as the Pasuk says in Shmos Chav, B'chol Mokom Asher Azkir Shmi Ovoy Lecha Barach Ticha. Anov and Yerushamayim in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Eza Bayis Asher Tivnu Ivieza Mokom Minuchasi. Ve'el ze'a abit el ani v'nechei ruach and those who are chared al dvorai. These are the yirei shamayim v'charedim al divrei Hashem, and v'nechei ruach is the anov. These are the people who bring down the Shechina, and Ezem Makom Menuchasi Tmimus. Rashi says in the Pasuk, Tomim Tiyah Mashem Lekech Dvar Yudches His Helech Imo B'Tmimus V'Oz Tiyah Imo Ulechelko. Oz Tiyah Amo Ulechelko means the people of Israel go with Hashem B'Tmimus, and then Hashem resides in their midst. So Noach is the first to be Zocheh to Motzachen, B'Ein Elokim. He's going to be spared from the rest of the Dar HaMabul, because Berov HaMolo L'das Hashem Li'ovdo Lishmar Es Mishvarta Agus B'Toroso V'Kiyeh Mitzvoso Mishum Kach Nivchar Hu Levado L'Kayim U'Lashamer Sa'olam Shenivra B'Asora Mamoros. So the number 10, which is the symbolic of creation, the natural creation, is also symbolic of Torah. And Noach represents these great midos and attributes, and he will be spared, and then the world will continue to exist. Now, before we go on and see the end of the Minchas Hosha, let's just come back to what we started, the discussion that we had of Vidorosov, which indicates that Noach was unique in all those generations. I mean, that's certainly reflected in those four conditions for Yalas Chayim, for Metzius Chayim V'Ein Elokim, which Noach achieved and personified. The Daskenim Ibali Atosis points out, Eli told us Noach, that only with regard to Tzadikim does the Torah repeat their name twice in a row. For example, by Avram, we find Avram, he's the Tzadik, and Noach is Noach, he's Loyal Yonim and Litachtonim. He's great for the upper spheres and for the bottom spheres, for the human sphere. And the pasuk that we began with, that says that Noach is Tomim, that Noach is not only an Ish Tzadik, but he's Tomim Hoya Bidorosov. Lomar says the Balaturim Shaya Tomim Bichol Esrim Doros Shemi Adam and Avram. In other words, if you take the word Hoya, which starts with the Hey and ends with the Hey, that gives you the number 10 in Gematria, the Yud in the middle, that's 20. 20 represents the generations, the 20 Doros from Adam and Avram. And then, if we compare and contrast Noach to those 20 generations, Noach is the Tomim. Avol Mishabo Avram. Now we get to the other pshat in Ludorosov, Lo Nechshav Tomim. In contrast to the great Avram, he's not a Tomim. But he's Tomim in contrast to Dorosov, meaning the Doros that sin, that Makalkil themselves, the 20 Doros, up till Noach. Now, I want to share with you two beautiful commentaries that come to answer the question, if Noach was so great, why didn't he pray on behalf of his generation that they should do tshuva? We don't find any effort on Noach's part. In Avram, we're going to find such a thing, but Noach is called a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik tamid. And yet, we don't find that he was misparallel for the generation to bring them back to do tshuva, as we found by Avraham Avinu in the case of stone. And Rabbein Bechai and the Or Chaim, each one in his own style, address this very question. And I want to thank Rabbi Reuven Schechter for sending me these two, I guess he gets it from Bar Ilan, I'm not sure, but these two paragraphs in Rabbeinu Bechai and the Or Chaim. The Rabbeinu Bechai here in Perek Vav, Pasuk Tezayin, Loma lo hoya mispal al b'nei doro v'yachziram lemutov, kimo shmatzinu b'Avram avinu kimiyad shahodio HaKadosh Baruch Hu peronos shel stom shayu rishoyim gemurim. In the case of Avram, as soon as Hashem notified Avram that he was going to bring destruction upon stone because they were complete evildoers, this power lamb, Avram's immediate response was to pray on their behalf. And not only that, he prays over and over again to try to stave off this decree of destruction. And the pasuk describes in Parshas Vayera, it says, "Hinei no ho alti l'dabel adoni ado," right? No, v'al yichar ap. This was the minhag, and we find it throughout the Rishonim, the earlier ones, and the Nevi'im. We find that they always come to Hashem to try to pray on behalf of the Bnei Dor. And the Parnes Hador, the great person of the generation, is supposed to be praying for on behalf of the Dor. So why don't we find this by Noach? Tshuva says Rabbeinu Chai, what's the answer? Ki ma shechod al Noach hatzadik lispal bi'adam lo b'merit v'lo b'mal. This is not indicative of a deliberate omission or some sort of a criminal act or non act of Noach. Ach mi tok shay yodea shekir ma olam basara. Noach understood that it would take a minimum of 10 to save the world. As Chazal darshan on Asor Mamoros Nivru Olam, so to create a world you need 10. And corresponding to those 10 utterances with which God created the world, we need 10 tzaddikim to justify the existence of the world. And Enochinami Ilu Hoya Bibnei Adora Asor Anoshim Tzaddikim, then Hashem would have staved off the whole destruction, Lo Yamevi Mabel Aleim. in the world would continue to exist because of the merit of those 10 tzaddikim. If we count the number of people who went into the teva, noach v'ishto, shloshes banim, shloshes neshei banov, so the three children of Noach, Shem, Chav, Yavos, and their wives is 6, plus Noach and his wife is 8. Ulefishlo nishmelu asara, there was no 10. Lohayru uyim li notzel, and Noach understood that the best he could do was to save himself and the members of his immediate household. And therefore you find that when Avram Avinu davened on behalf of Sodom, he went down to the bottom of 10. That was the lowest number he could go to. And Hashem says, Lo ashkes before Asara. And then immediately, Vayelech Hashem leaves him, because it was clear to Hashem that there were no 10 tzaddikim in the city of Sodom. Avram, therefore, at that point, would no longer have a license to pray and supplicate to God to stave off the punishment to stone, because there was no 10. And therefore stone was wiped off the face of the earth. And in the case of Noach, he too, insofar as there were no 10, was enjoined from praying. So let's not blame Noach. He wasn't even allowed to pray. And how much more so if you given the fact that Hashem gave them such a long period of time to do tshuva, 120 years, and yet they did not do so, is therefore the Rachman, the great compassionate one, would stave out punishment in this case. But the Archaim, although I wouldn't say that he disagrees with Rabbeinu Bachai, but he has a different formulation. He writes again in Perek Vav, in this case it's Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yesh la say slave, Madua Helim Ayin, Me'asos Stoka Bibnei Ador, Levakesh Rachmim Aleim Lifnei Hashem. Why didn't Noah put some energy, some concentration on praying on behalf of his generation? V'tigda Akusha, and if we compare Noah to Avram Avinu, the question comes even stronger. And if you'll tell me that, perhaps he's hinting here at the approach of the Rabbeinu Bachai, that Avram Avinu couldn't ask for less than 10, and therefore Noah couldn't ask for less than 10 kosher, ki mi omer lo shim hayo mevakesh lo hayo miskabel. Avraham Avinu understood that if Noah couldn't succeed because it wasn't 10, then he would have to drop the case, since it wasn't 10 in the case of stone. But how does Avraham Avinu know for sure that had Noah prayed on behalf of the people of the Dor HaMabul, he would not have his tefillos would not have been received on high? How does Avraham know that? Again, I think in Rabbeinu Bachai's perspective, Noach and Avram both were operating with the premise that for Kiyum Olam, the magic number, the required, the minimum is 10, like the Asura Mamoros. But the Archaim is not working with that premise, and therefore he's trying to figure out how Avram Avinu decided or derived the conclusion that he's got to close shop and raise his hands in defeat and terminate his prayers because Noach couldn't have possibly prayed. Maybe Noach could have prayed and it would have been successful. How does Avraham Avinu know that? Says the Archaim, Midirei Hashem Asher Dibur LeNoach Gila Daito LeNoach Ki Hadavar Muchlat B'Einei Hashem. Noach heard from the words of Hashem that the decision, the decree to destroy the world was final, irreversible. V'lo nosan makom l'noach l'spal, that the way that Hashem presented it to Noach, he was clearly indicating to Noach that tefillah was out of place, was irrelevant, impotent, and there's no place for tefillah. Ki omro, this is what Hashem said to Noach, Kates kol basar bolafanai hini mashkisam, it means behechleit, This is a total, absolute decision. There's no contingency whatsoever. And therefore, ma mokom lo lispalel. There's no room to be mispalel. In contrast, in the cases of Avram, we'll see this later in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't have these words, you know, God says are absolute. But rather, nosan lo mokom lispalel d'chsiv erda naverak kitzak hasa. Hashem hints by saying, you know, let's go down and see what are these cries coming from stone, the oppressed, and so forth. Even though at the end of the day, the gzera was implemented and stone was destroyed, but nevertheless, Hashem wanted to reveal the hanhaga and tell Avram, notify him that the prayers would be meaningful if only we could come up with a minimum of 10. The Omar Dvarm Shi Yishma Mehem Avram Sheshlo Shuslavakish Rachm, the way that Hashem notified Avram about the plan to destroy stone indicated to Avram that he had the green light to go ahead and supplicate. And Vachem Timsim Bidvar Moshe, you'll see it even in the case of Moshe in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. It was always clear that Hashem said to, or implied to Moshe, now here's your room for tefillah, and Moshe in fact was successful, but not in the case of Noach. In the case of Noach, sosam Hashem tefillah. So here I think the Arachayim is paraphrasing a pasuk in Eicha, sosam tefillah. There was no room for tefillah. So don't blame Noach. Don't fault him for his omission of prayer, because there was no room for prayer. The decision was made. Hashem indicated that's it. It's irreversible. And Noach understood very well that there was no opening here. The door was not opened, even a crack, like it was in the cases of Avram and Moshe. And the Archaim finishes up his presentation by saying that in the cases of Avram and Moshe, there was no real reason why Hashem had to come to them to notify them. I mean, why was it critical that Avram Avinu would find out about Hashem's decision to destroy stone? Obviously, Hashem is pointing that he wants tefillah. But in the case of Noach, there's a very good reason why Hashem notifies Noach. And Noach has to make the preparations. He's got to prepare the teva, all the needs have in the teva that have to be tended and prepared for. And Hashem is telling him, this is the decision, this is the gzera, there will be a mabul, there will be a destruction of the world. You have to do it, you have to do it. There's no room for tefillah. And Avram Avinu understood that since Hashem made that decision irreversibly in such a way that he told Noach, or at least hinted to Noach, that there's no room for tefillah, Avram Avinu understood this is because, and he had that hunch that 10 is the minimum number of tzaddikim. Now I mentioned before that there's another piece here in the Minchas Osher that I wanted to call to your attention, and again it's also something that very much reminds me of what I heard from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. He points out that it's very strange that Dafka, in the aftermath of the Mabul, and Hashem is going to declare the nature of man and the Yetzer of man is Ra, and then nevertheless, paradoxically, Hashem makes the decision that, and a commitment that he will never destroy the world again. And it's funny because the pasuk indicates Vayar Hashem ki raba ros hada ba'aretz v'chol yetzer libo rak rak kol hayom. The pasuk at the end of Bereishis is describing the decision of Hashem to destroy the earth, mentions the yetzer lev ha'adam ra minu urav. And it's very strange here in Parshas Noach, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayorach Hashem Esreach Anichov, Vayomar Hashem Alibo Lo Osif Lekalel Odes Adom Bavur Adom Ki Yetzer Lev Adom Ramin Urof. Vlo Osif Od Lahakos Is Kol Chai Kesher Asisi. Very strange. In both cases, at the end of Bereishis, when Hashem decides to destroy the world, and the aftermath of Noach bringing the carbon after he came out of the teva, Hashem decides lo osif od lahakos, and he says ki yitzo lev adam. But the answer I heard from my Rebbe, and I think this is what the Minchas Asher is also saying, is that there's a difference between Yetzer Lev Hodom Ra Minu Urov, that's in Parshas Noach, and Kol Yetzer Machshvos Libo, Rak Ra Kol Hayom. In the case of Hashem's decision to destroy the Mabul, the emphasis here is on Kol, you know, Kol Yetzer Lev Hodom, Rak Ra, and Kol Hayom. True, man has a Yetzer Ra Mina Urov, but that was part of the divine plan, at least in the post, form of the post chait of Adam Arishan. But man went way beyond the divine plan before the Mabul. The Chol Yetzer Machshavos Livo Rak Ra Kol Hayom. He's passed all the red lines. He is a man has become personification of evil. In the original plan, okay, Hashem says, Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Min Uruf. That I can accept. Man is granted freedom of choice. He has an evil inclination. He has to make those decisions. But that's radically different than man as the personification of evil, as an identification with evil in his very essence before the Mabul. And perhaps the transition in the state of man before the Mabul to after the Mabul has to do with the study of Torah. Because the Tanhuma at the beginning of Bechuk Kosai says, Adam Harishon Ilu Shomer Es HaTorah Lo hayemes. The emphasis here is on Torah. Olam kazeh hashori below Torah ein zchus l'kiyumo. There's no possibility of keeping the world alive without Torah, keeping it going. Because that's kol yetzer rak ra and kol hayom. There's no purpose to the bria if not for amilus haTorah. And after Noach, there was a hope that man would seek out the divine wisdom and the divine moral system, and there's room for hope for man. Ha'olam li'achra mabul Noach ubonav yotzim min ha'teva asku b'torah. There was an esek at Torah, there was a melus b'torah, mikol ha'behemah Torah. Says Rashi, asida li'os tahor li'yisrael mikan shalom Noach Torah. Vatelech Lidrosh Sashem. Later on, El Sela Beis Midrash Shal Shem. This is Shem Ben Noach. This is already a world with Torah. And that has a purpose. That has a tachlus. That has an element, a ray of hope. There's hope for man, even though Yetzer Machshavos Libo are Ra Min Urov, but nevertheless, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. There is an antidote to the Yetzer Hara, and that's Torah, that's the Tavlin. And Noach found that Tavlin. Noach possessed that Tavlin. And he passed it on to his children, or at least Shem. And he was mezaka the entire world. The Kiyuma Olam is b'schus Noach because of that element of Torah. Now, on the Pasuk Tamim Hayu B'Dorosov, which describes Noach as Tamim, Rabbeinu Bechai points out, Hu HaSholem B'Chol Midosov. The word Tamim indicates a certain Shlemus, which, in a sense, is all-encompassing, a certain kind of perfection of midos, of attributes. And where do we find that this word tamim means perfection? Well, if you take a look in Parshas Paraduma, for example, it says tmima, and then it says ein bo mum. And that's really something that's indicative of all behemas kodshim, that a behema has to be shlema b'li mum in order to be kosher v'li mizbeach. Mum ha'adam is what? We're not talking in Adam about a physical blemish, but rather hamida maguna, some sort of deficiency in midos. And therefore, Noach is tamim, he means sholim ein bo mum as far as midos is concerned. He doesn't have a mida maguna. And if you take a look in Tilim Kufyutes, Ashrei Smimi Dorach, that's the capital that goes through the Aleph Beis, with the Aleph is Ashrei Smimi Dorach, again the word Tmimus, is Biru, what does it mean? Tmimei Amidos, the perfect in attributes, in their behavior patterns, and this is the exact opposite of the generation of Noach. They are guilty of being bali midos megunos ki hishkis kol basar es dar kol aret. So Noach is tamim bidorosov in his dar, in conscious who a dar which is nagua b'midos. They are full of midos megunos of hishkis kol basar. Noach is the tamim, the shalem, without these blemishes and these mumin and these deficiencies in midos. And once, having quoted the pasuk in Tehillim Kufyutes Ashrei Tmimei Dorach, HaHolchem B'Toras Hashem, let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim says, Ashrei Tmimei Derech, what's Geder HaTom Derech? What is the definition of Tom Derech? Shaloyia B'Darko, in his way of life, his behavior pattern, Mum V'Chisaron, any blemish, any imperfection and deficiency, who... Misha Darko Atov Kavua V'lo Yishtane V'lo Yimot B'Shum Zman. His Derech Atova is essential to his very personality, his very nature. He will not deviate from that and go off on a different Derech. Therefore, Yasa Kol Maisav L'Shem Hashem, all of his actions will be for the sake of God. V'lo L'Shem Pnuyo Chitzonit L'Toel Es Atzmo. He's not motivated for his own self glory and so forth and so on. V'ze'ief shagakim holech b'toras Hashem. The end of this pasuk, Ashrei Tmimei Dorach, is those who are holchim b'toras Hashem. Without the Torah, there's no way that you could perfect your maisim and reach this tmimus of every action is l'shem Hashem, unless you understand the tzivuyim of the Torah, haholchim b'toras Hashem. And therefore, when we describe Noach as being tamim in midos, without any pagam, without any mum, we also at the same time know that he has Torah. And Rav Chaim Shalevitz is always quick to point out that the midos, on a rational human, ethical level, universal man, that's shy, that falls shy of the midos of Torah. I mean, Torah ain't derech eretz. You can have derech eretz on one level without Torah, but not the ultimate of Tmimei Dorach. For that you need Ha'olchem B'Toras Hashem, and that's why Noach for sure had to study Torah in order to reach this level of Tamim Hoya B'Dorosav. Where else do we find in a famous pasuk in Tehillim the word Tamim? In Tehillim you test Toras Hashem Tmima Meshivas Nafesh Eitz Hashem Nemanim Achimus Pesi, and Rashi says in his commentary on Tehillim Toras Hashem Tmima Hime'ira Kishemesh. The Torah here in this context speaks about the Torah gives you the illumination, the light of the sun, the clarity of vision of the sun. Is Me'ira Seinayim, like Shlomo Mel says in Mishle, Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. The Torah gives you the light, it illuminates the way. And Ibn Ezra comments on this Torah Sashem Tmima, Tam Lemar Tmima Kineged Hashemesh. The Shemesh becomes the paradigm or the mashal through which we understand the metaphor of tmimus. Bavur ayos hashemesh tmima. The light of the sun is perfect, it's complete. It's not like the reflected light of the moon, which is a little bit weak and lacks in a certain clarity. To read to the Or HaLevon is very difficult, but the shemesh represents the clarity of vision of Ora. And Torah is Tvima, and it means Ein Tzorech Li'edus Eid Acher Ima. In other words, when it says Eidus Hashem, it means that the Torah is Eidus and it doesn't require any other Eidim. You don't need others to join up with the Torah. The Torah is a complete and perfect Eidus. If you look at Mitzudas David, Torah Hashem Tmima, Aval Torah Hashem Hi Yoser Tmima, Ratzalom Shlema Vipulasa, Umel Elis Yosem and Hashem. If you compare, you know, the divine revelation through the natural order of the universe, what we call a cosmological proof of the existence of God, compare that to Torah, and Torah supersedes. It's shlemus. You can look at the works of God in nature, and maybe it doesn't give you a perfect perception, but Torah Hashem Tamim is even a clarity that goes beyond the Shemesh. And yesterday we had the Hakomas HaMetzeva for Meir Zeifman, Zichron Levrach. It's hard to believe he's not with us anymore. He was so great in his midos, and we can't say enough about it. And I remember his love for Torah as well. He sorely missed. In the Parsha of Mila, Bereishis Perek Yud Zayin, Avram is 99 years old. Hashem appears to him and says, Anikel Shakai is Halach Lefanav Yei Samim. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, his Halach Lefanai Tia Nimshach Lavodasi Feheyei Tomim Sholem Belito Sefesu Migra. Meaning, follow the Torah. And that's it. Just follow the Torah. And you'll become a Tomim. Torah Hashem Tmima. Lo Tosiv Lo Tigra. Tmima means a perfect and exact, precise observance of the Torah. Don't add, don't subtract. And Rabbeinu Bachai goes on to say there's a phrase called Tocho Kibaro, which means that a person on the outside is really exhibiting a behavior that's genuine on his inside. There's no contradiction between the outside and the inside. He's not a fake. Pivalibo Shovin. What he says is what he really means. And Avraham Avinu was the Shoresh Amuna. He was the root of faith. He was the one who declared the oneness of God, the unity of God, with an Eidus Shlema, Eidus Halev, HaPesh Shavim. And therefore Hashem says, Hayei Tomim, you represent the Midah of Tomim, of Tmimus, of Tocho Kibaro, of total, complete, perfect dedication to Hashem. For who adin b'chol shara avodas Hashem yisrach yitzarach adam she'piv v'libo shavim. And also when it comes to ben adam l'chavero, it should be piv v'libo shavim she'yadzde kol echa l'chavero v'yoyrov lo yachlo kol b'shum inyon. He should try to find the good in other people. Ki kol mishu echad b'pev echad b'lev. If on the other hand, what he says on the outside is not what he feels genuinely, truly on the inside, if he's not sincere, hinehu cholek tzasa l'koso, he's really a split personality. U'mechazev k'tzosos k'tzosa, there's a certain fabricate, a certain lie here. V'hu mikach and emor alav, David Amel describes such a group of people in Kapitel Ayin Ches, in Tehillim, Vayifatu, Befiem, Ublshonam, Yichazovulo, Volibam lo nochen imov lo nemon, Lebibriso. And therefore, in this mitzvah say of Mila, Hashem commands Avram Tomim Tia, Im Hashem Elokecha V'yei Tomim. This is the great shvach of all tzaddikim, that a tzaddik is an ish tzaddik Tomim, as we saw by Noach. And in the case of Yaakov, Yaakov ish Tam, Yitzchak is called an Ola Tmima, and the pasuk says Holech Tomim Upol Tzedek, Ashrei Tmimei Dorach. David HaMelech already tells us that the Baal Midas Tmimus is in front of Hashem Yisparach Kiyum Nitzchi Liolam. He will live for all eternity, and that's because he has this level of Tmimus, as the Sfarno says on Veheye Tomim. Knei Hashlemus Ha'efshar Lemin Hanoshi. That you, Avraham Avinu, have the potential of acquiring that level of Tmimus that's the maximum, the highest level that a human being could possibly achieve. Interesting, and this is a little bit on the side, that the Medrash Rabbah here on the Pasuk of Motza Yonah Manoach points out, like a little bit of a Musa Shmuz here, that the Pasuk is teaching us had the Yonah actually found dry land to sit itself down, and then it wouldn't have come back and returned to the Teva of Noach. Udekavasa, here's the Musa element. The Pasuk in Eicha says, He yashva b'goyim lo matza manoach, ilu matza manoach lo ayu chozrim. The people of Israel desire redemption, to return to the land, to be redeemed from the Golus, because lo matza manoach. The same Pasuk. Just like we say, lo matza yonah manoach, lo matza manoach, there's no comfort amongst the goyim. And the pasuk in Dvarim Chav Ches says, "Ubagoyim aheim lo targia v'lo yia manoach." Ilu matza manoach lo yachozri. If we get too comfortable in Chutz Laretz, in Golus, then we have no desire to actively seek out a return to the land of Israel. And that's really the issue that we face. As the Sifri points out in Parshas Ekev, very famous, V'achalta v'savata, Hisham lochem pen yifta levavchem, that it means that if we get too comfortable and we eat and we're satiated, then we can chas v'shalom come to the state in which we're morayed in HaKadosh Baruch, we want to stay pen tochal v'savatu batim tovim tivda v'yashavta b'karcha tzoncha yirviyun kesev v'zor yarbulucha. And then it says v'rom levovcha v'shachachlus Hashem alokecha. You become too comfortable, you know, mixing in with the goyim and the golus. And then the Medrash says, and the Sifri says, v'chein atomotzi b'anshe dor hamabul shalom mordu ala mitok zviya. What brought about the merid, the rebellion against God at the time of the Mabul? It was Sviya, the satiation. Amru, they declared him, Tipa achas shal gishamim hi einon utzrichim lo. If Hashem is going to bring down some waters from the heavens, we don't need it, because the Pasuk has already said, V'yehid yalam in oris v'hishkas p'nei adoma, that we have plenty. We have kol tuv. You know, we have enough water here to last us. You're big shots and you want to rebel against me because of the goodness that I bestowed upon you. Let's see who's going to win out over here. Even in the door of the Hafloga, it was again the source, the root of the sin was Sevia, that they were so comfortable and satiated. Vayehi benosam mikedem vayimtzu bika b'eretz shinar vayeshuvu sham v'ein yeshiva ha'murakan el achilo shesia. He proves from Beres Psukim that the word yeshiva refers to achilo and shesia, and they were satiated. They were having a hedonistic party and celebrating. He shegam lehem hava nivna lanu ir umigdal v'rosho bashamayim. So this is what happens, that tzaddikim sometimes want to live a life of comfort and serenity and be absolutely b'shalva. Is that's what happens when mevakshim leshe b'shalva, then the satan comes to be mekatreg. And the Medrash Rabbah says, with regard to Yaakov Avinu Bikesh, it says, Omar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo dayan shi mesukalem liolam haba. It's not enough that they have, you know, they guaranteed calm and serene life in the world to come. Elav shei mevakshim leishev b'shalva b'olam hazeh. They want shalva already in this world. Yaakov Avinu's mevakesh leishev b'shalva olam hazeh is nizdaveg lo sitno shel Yosef. And then vayeshev Yaakov lo shalavti v'lo shakateti lo nachti vayavo groges lo shalavti.
Lo shalavti mi Esav, lo shakatati mi Lavan, lo nachti mi Dina, vayov harogez balai rogzu shal Yosef. It's interesting that when Yechezkel HaNovi castigates the Jewish people, he says, Votseisi eschem in ha'amim v'kibatsi eschem in ha'rotz Hashem v'otzeo sham bom biyad chazok uzonetuna u'benachom ha'shvucha u'bechem ha'shvucha. And all this is because the Jewish people are so settled in their ways, learning to live amongst the goyim. And another important lesson that we derive from Parshas Noach, and this you'll see in the Gemara in Pesachim, that the Mishnah says, Orli Arbasar, not Leil Arbasar, is Lishna Mi'al Yehudu Nokat. This is the concept of Lishna Nikiyah, of Lashon Kodesh. The Rambam is famous for saying that there are no words in Lashon Kodesh for the sexual act, the sexual organ. This is the Lashon Nikiyah of Lashon Kodesh. And we derive it from Parshas Noach, when Hashem says to Noach, Min HaBehema Tahora, Umin HaBehema Asher Einana Tahora, is Omar of Papa, Teisha. The Torah added these nine extra words. It should have said Tmeya, and it says Einana Tahora. Adding these nine letters to teach us that Liolam Yisapar Odom Loshen Nikiya. Instead of saying Beimat Tmeya, it should say the Torah chooses to say Eino Tahora, and that's a certain Nikius in the way one speaks. And the Nikiya Da speak in a way of Loshen Nikiya Asher Einenu Tahora. They don't say Tmeya. But even though it does say Tomei in the Torah, in Parsha Shmini, for example, when it talks about the animals that you're not allowed to eat, that's not a Lashon Maguna, that's not an improper language. Hashem wants to command us and enjoin us from getting involved in any sort of Tumah. But for Parsha Samabal, Shem Lomar, Kosev Lahazir, Minatuma. The Torah in Noach is not coming to warn anybody, be careful not to eat from a behemot mea, but Radla Haros Min Shiva Min Shnayim, to tell Noach which animals to take in, seven pairs and which two pairs, is Ike Makos of Yomar Eina Tahora, in order to teach us to use a Lashon Nikiyah. Now, since we're mentioning, you know, the various animals that have to be brought into the teva, and we mentioned that this is not the distinction between tahora and tveya here. It has nothing to do with kashrus, because we can add and clarify this by saying that we're not talking about kashrus, because the distinction between these kind of animals, kosher animals, and those kind, non-kosher animals, is totally irrelevant at that point in time to Noach, because, after all, we know that basar was also lehem v'achila at this point, right? The Torah says at the beginning of Perek Tes that kol remes asheru chai lochem yeliyoch lo ki erek esev nasati lochem es kol. Rashi points out, Shalor Hishesi, Liodama Rishon Basar, Ela Yerek, Vilachem, and now Nasati Lachem Esakol. So it means that as far as Adama Rishon is concerned, and that extends until Noah, there was no Heter Achilas Basar, it was only vegetarianism. But now Hashem is telling them that you're allowed to eat Basar. Rashi also points this out at the very beginning of the Torah in Perek Aleph of Breishis, Pasuk Chaf Tes. Rashi says, Hishva lahem behemos v'chais lamachal ohishra li'odom u'li'ishta lahomis biryo v'lechol basar. Ach kol yerek esav yochlu yachad kulam. U'kshebo b'nei noach hita lahem basar shenema karemes asher u'chai ki yerek esav Shitarti l'odom rishon asati lachem es kol. And this is all based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nuntes. Omer Rav Yudom Rav, odom rishon lo hutel lo basal achila, dechsiv lachem yel liochel chal chayes haaretz.
V'lo chayis ha'aretz lachem liochla, u'ksheba b'nei noach hita lehem, shenemar ki yerek esev nasati lachem, lachem kol. Now, this idea that man is enjoined from eating animals, you know, should be really understood. I mean, why is this so, and why did it change after the Mabul? These are some of the profound questions. I just want to point out that the Ramban, in his Perish al Torah, here in Breishis Perek Aleph, Pasuk of Tess, he quotes the Rashi that we saw verbatim, and then he writes, V'chein Perish Arab B'Mesechta Sanhedrin. Rashi gives this explanation in Mesechta Sanhedrin Adaf Nun Tessam in Beis, Divra Masalo Hutar, Wilchol Chayes Ha'oretz Lachem, V'lachayes Nasati Ha'sovim, V'yes Ha'ilonos, V'yes Kol Yerek Esav Li'ochla. So it means that man and the animals have the same food. They're all, both the animal kingdom and the human species, are permitted to partake of herbage and trees for eating purposes. And the Ramban is not totally on board with Rashi. He says, V'imkach, if you accept Rashi, then, let me just fix this. Yeah, if you accept Rashi's pshat, then he says, is yeah perush es kol yerek esev li ochla, ves kol yerek esev. In other words, the explanation of these words, es kol yerek esev li ochla, that means all green herbage is for food, which is here in Pasuk Lamed in Breishis Aleph, is the same as Eskol Yerek Esev, and all green herbage is for food. Now, in other words, in these psukim of Choftes and Lamed, Hashem tells both man and the beast that they may eat of three things. Number one, in Pasuk Choftes, Hashem gives them all herbage that yields seeds. Number two, he gives them tree that has fruit, and all this should be for you for food. And then in Pasuk Lamed, and for every beast of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and everything that moves on the earth within which there is a living soul, all green herbage is for food. Now, the Torah is giving us a list of three things that the animals are allowed to eat. And according to Rashi, all these three items are given to both man and to the animals. And basically you read these two pesukim as one long pasuk. The Ramban, though, says that the words "and also" are a little bit out of place over here. The Ramban says the following, that the Enochen Avol Nosan Li Odom Lishto Kol Esiv Zorei Azer V'Chol Pri Eitz. So man was given all herbage yielding seed and every tree that has a fruit. Ulechayis Oretz Alof Hashemayim Nosan Kol Yerek Esiv. And as far as the animals are concerned, they're given also that category of all green herbage. Kol Yerek Esev. That's what's designated for the animal food. But Velo Priya Eitz Velo Hazroim, but they're not allowed to partake of the fruits of the trees and not the seeds. So therefore the Ramban says that man had a broader scope. The food included not just all green herbage, but also seeds and fruits. But on the other hand, the plants themselves, that was food for the animals. And the Ramban says, "Avol nosan li adam uli ishto kol esiv zorei azer v'chol pri eitz ulechayis ha'aretz lof hashamayim nosan kol yerek esav lo pri eitz v'lo azroim v'eim acholim yachad kulam b'shov." So the food is not the same for man and the rest of creation. With regard to the beasts and the birds, they have green herbage. And with regard to man, on the other hand, he's got Priya Eitz and Zroim, which translates into English as we said earlier, the fruits of the trees and the seeds. So man's food was the seeds and the fruits, and the animals get the plants themselves, which is the herbage. But again, man certainly is a vegetarian, even according to the Ramban, that's no question, if he's eating seeds and fruits. So that's correct, that the Pshuta Shel Mikra and the words of Chazal are one and the same in this case, and it means that up until Noah coming out of the Teva, there was no heter for man to eat animals. Why is there? What's the reason for this? There's some sort of concept of a soul with regard to animals, because these possess mobility, he says. Nefesh atnua, the soul of mobility, the animal's soul. Now, I just want to point out, in terms of this concept of an animal soul, what we might want to emphasize here is the following, that there are three kinds of nefeshos, of a nefesh, according to the Ramban. One is called the nefesh hatzomachas, the vegetative soul, and that means the organism nourishes itself, grows, and reproduces, and every living being has a nefesh hatzomas, whether it's a vegetable that grows in the ground, whether it's an animal, whether it's a human being. Then they have the next level, which is called the nefesh habehema, and that endows the animals with sensation, with mobility. And this is common to animals and humans. But then we get to the highest level, which is the nefesh hamaskeles, the rational soul, that provides man with the intellectual capacity and the ability to reason. And that's unique to man. But the nefesh hatnua is really part of the nefesh behema as well. And in fact, the Ramban uses the phrase nefesh hatnua exclusively for animals and not for human beings. And the Ramban here is telling us that there is some level of significance to this nefesh atnua, is nidmu bab labalia nefesh maskelis, a certain resemblance to the human soul, which is the rational soul that we spoke about before, which is the loftiest level of the soul. The Yeshbam, and how does this similarity or this resemblance express itself? Number one, bechira betovasam uvim zonoseim, that the animals have a certain limited amount of freedom of choice. They can exercise choice in matters that concern their welfare, their food, and therefore v'yivruchu, they run away like man, minatzar v'hamisa, they flee from pain and death. V'akosav omer, here he quotes a pasuk in the third chapter of Koheles. It says, mi yodea ruach b'nei adam ha'ola hi lamalav, ruach ha'bemi yoredes hi lamata la'aretz. In other words, there are these two souls. There's the soul of man and the soul of the animal. They're closely related. And after the Mabul, Noach was told that he could eat meat. And the Pasuk says in Perek Tes Pasuk Dalid, but flesh with its soul, its blood, you shall not eat. Meaning you're not allowed to eat Evrim and Achai, but you're allowed to eat the dead flesh of animals. But originally, in the divine scheme, Hashem ordained that man should not eat the flesh of the animals. Now, why was that limitation, why was that restriction removed? The kasher chatu, which literally means the animals sinned. Again, this is a reflection of the fact that the Ramban maintains that the nefesh habehema has a certain limited But nevertheless, level of freedom of choice, and hishkis kol bosas darkal otz nigzash yemusu v'mabul, the animals sinned and were corrupt on the face of the earth. The pasuk again in at the end of Parshas Bereishis, and it was decreed that the animal should die in the flood. Ubavur Noach Hitzil Mehem L'Kiyum Amin. It's only because of Noach that Hashem saved the animals by taking in seven and twos to preserve the species. Nosalim Rishus Lishchot V'Lechol. Now Hashem gives man, grants man the license to slaughter the animals and Lechol to eat them. Kikiyumam Bavuro, because the animals were preserved, they were saved only because of Noach. So in the merit of Noach, they were saved. V'im kol zelo nosan lehem rishus benefesh. But to eat them while they're alive, the soul, osalem evrim anachai, that remains prohibited. So even after the flood, there's an iser of evrim anachai, v'hosif lanu b'mitzvos lesser kol adam. And in addition to the Bnei Noach, who are enjoined from eating Evrim Achai, we, the Jewish nation, are prohibited from consuming blood, mipneshu mamad lenefesh, because that's the chiyus, the life force, the lifeblood of the soul of the animal. Kirechsiv, ki nefesh kol basar doma benafshahu, fiyomer l'bnei Yisrael, dam kol basar lo sochelu, ki nefesh kol basar doma hu. So we're not allowed to consume blood, because the life of every nefesh, of every creature, is its blood. Ki hiter aguf b'chai she'enu medabar hamisa. But law nefesh atzma, the Torah permits us to consume, well, I guess here he's going back to Bnei Noach, to consume the body of any eino medabra. Eino medabra means an animal, a non-speaking living being. But law nefesh atzma, not the soul itself, meaning its dam while it's alive, v'zeh, or even after its death, v'zeh tam shchita, and that's the reason for shchita. Meaning the heter for shchita, because now the world is being preserved in the merit of Noach, and Hashem permits man to slaughter the animal and eat it. Umasha omru tzar b'alchaim doraisa, and that which it says about metzil amid beis, that causing pain to an animal is forbidden by the Torah. V'zuber chasenu shenavarech, asher kidshon mitzos zivon al shchita. It means that a person who wants to eat meat has to recite a bracha and then proceed to shech the animal. That's all part of the command of tzar b'alei chayim. In other words, shechita is meant to limit the tzar of the b'alei chayim. V'od adar b'inyan ha-mitzvah b'dam b'igiyah sam. I'll talk more about dam later on. In Vayikra Yitzayin, im gomer Hashem alayf, Hashem will be compassionate and kind to me. So that's what we have here in the Ramban, and the Ramban here touches on the concept of shechita within the context of tzar bali chayim, which means that the Ramban is apparently maintaining, and shall I say, agreeing with that opinion that tzar bali chayim is doraisa, because he's explaining, you know, the mitzvah of shechita doraisa. Rashi on the Gemara in Shabbos Kufchav Ches of Tzar Bali Chaim doraisa says shenemar ozov tazov imo. As Rashi, as opposed to Ramban, is going to derive the concept of Tzar Bali Chaim doraisa from a different source, not from shechita. He says ikaman de darsh time of the krom mishum Tzar Bali Chaim be elu mitzias, that darshin in time of the craw, that the reason why azo is taz of ima, if the animal is suffering under the weight of a burden, you have to help to remove the burden from the animal's, the beast's back, is because it's tzar bali chayim dorais, that's azo tazov. And in fact, the Meiri points out in the sugi of tzar bali chayim in bav mitzia lamed beis, that the reason why the Mishnah is more machmir with regard to the Torah law of prika more than te'ina, which means to take it off rather than help the man put it on, is because it's tzar bali chayim doraisa. And that's Anu Mizharim says the Meiri Olav Minatora Bechol Makom Af Pishe Pshuta Shemikra Lor Inavol Chiluk Bein Prikul Atina Mikomakom Kfar Kosva Tor Beferish Lo Saksam Shar Bedisho. So we have a number of different sources possibly for Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. It could be Lo Saksam Shar Bedisho and to muzzle the animal when it's working in the fields. And then also of Taza, which means the preference here to the mitzvah Prika. And then we have the Ramban about Shechita. And it's interesting that the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos that we mentioned early on Kuf Chav Ches, Amar Rabbi Yehudomer, Behema Shenaflo Liemas Mayim, Mevi Karmuk Sosim Eniach Tachtem, also. And this is called an Iser of Mavatel Klime Chono, which is a kind of a branch of the laws of Muktzi. You're allowed to violate this. And why it's, the Rosh says, because of Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. So even though Bittul Kli Me'echonu is also on Shabbos, but that's only the Rabbanon, and the Doraisa of Tzar Bali Chaim overrides, and therefore we help the animal that fell into the Emes Mayim to lift him up. And the question is, at what point does the Torah, does Halacha allow us to overlook the Tzar of the Bal Chai? For example, the Ramban Eben Ezra says that Kol Dovar Shetzach Refuah is mutter, and it's not Tzar Bale Chaim. If somehow, you know, in order to, like, you need what's called the notzots of Avozos, you know, you need these the feathers off of the goose. That's something that we do if necessary for refuah, even though it'll entail some element of tzar bali chayim. But it's interesting. The Ramah says me'olam nimnoim. We in general try to avoid this at all costs. The haviach zorios. It's really cruel to the animal to do this. And the Piskei Tosin Avodah Zorah says famously, Tzar Bali Chaim Ein Isur Elik Shemitzara Bali Revach. But as long as there's a Revach, there's some purpose, there's some higher goal, it's Shem Tashmishim Shal Bnei Adam, and how much more so L'Chvodam Shal Bnei Adam. For example, the Gemara B'Metzia Lamed Gimel says that a Zokin Ein Elfi Chvodo, he doesn't have to be metapo with the animal, which might relieve the animal if it's suffering, because it's Ein Elfi Chvodo, Shekovet Abrios here, is certainly a tashmisha shel adam, is certainly a revach, and for that you're allowed to overlook Tzar Bali Chaim. In any event, there's much to talk about in literature on the, in tshuva literature on the issue of Tzar Bali Chaim. I just mentioned it here in Parshas Noach because of the heter of Shechita, and the Ramban points that out, that that's in the post-teva period of Noach. But Yirotz, on the main thrust of what we want to discuss today, which would be Zocha, to understand the Midos of Noach, the Ish Tzadik Tomim Hoya B'Dorosov, how excellent he was in his Dor, despite the Hashchos of the Dor, and God preserves him, saves him, because he's Matzachain, his Midos, his Torah, and not only that, Hashem spares the entire world in this Chus of Noach. These are things and lessons that we have to learn, and to understand what it means, Tomim Hayibadoros, of the concept of Tmimus, which we'll find again surfacing in Avraham Avinu, and we'll find it in Tehillim over and over again, Tmimei Dorech. We should be Zochem Yirtz Hashem to strive and achieve Tmimus, a perfection and a total commitment to Avodas Hashem, to Ritzon Hashem, Malkam Ken Yiratzon, Amen.